In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is great to be back with you once again. So many people have been asking me as I've been traveling, what happened to your show? And I explained to them, of course, because of the illness of our Holy Father, Pope Francis, there have been prayer vigils. And EWTN wanted to make sure that we were all praying for our Holy Father. And so I have no problem taking a back seat to the prayers of for our Holy Father and for his recovery. And so lieu of that, we didn't have the show last week, which is fine. You know, I joined in as well as many others, of course, for the prayers for our Holy Father. And we'll continue to do so, of course. And so we'll see how it goes this week. Right now, we're doing the show live today, which I'm very, very excited about. And today we're talking about the new Vatican document on artificial intelligence, Antiqua et Nova, which means old and new. And so we're going to talk about that today. And I missed you all last week, but again, we should join our prayers with as well as the rest of the church all around the world for our Holy Father. And we're grateful to EWTN for giving us an opportunity to join all of our prayers with the prayers of all the people in the Vatican and around the world. So thank you for that. So what's happened since last time that we talked? So last weekend I was at the men's conference in Columbus, which is one of the largest men's conferences in the country. I think 2,400 guys were there, and it was a great time. I spoke at that conference 7 years ago, and so it was great to be back again this time. And it's beautiful. They wanted me to talk about reconciliation, kind of preparing the men to receive the sacrament of God's incredible divine mercy. And so I did that. And I, you know, my typical style, I challenged the men. You know, I didn't sugarcoat anything. And grateful to God, truly grateful to God. Three different men on their own at three different times after my talk came up to me at the table that I had set up there. One of them leaned over and whispered to me, "Deacon, I just want you to know it's been 27 years since my last confession. And I went to confession today." And I said, "Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus." You know, and then another guy came over later and he just said, "Hey, I just want, you know," and there were other people standing around. He goes, "I just want to let you know, Deacon, it's been 30 years since my last confession. And I went today." I'm like, "Oh, well, praise God. Thank you." And then finally, toward the end, another guy came over and said, "It's been 32 years since his last confession." So praise God that men are returning back to the sacrament of reconciliation. And I just am so grateful to God that whatever I said motivated them to open their hearts to reveal, not be afraid to reveal their weaknesses before the Lord, to receive his mercy and his forgiveness, which he is always ready to give to those who are truly repentant of their sins and want to turn back to Christ. So I am truly grateful that I experienced. Well, where in the world am I now? Well, I'm actually in the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, speaking at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Pensacola. I'm doing a pre-Lenten mission. So I priested all the masses on the weekend, and then I did the first talk of the mission last night. And then this morning I did a talk for the men's groups. It's called the Men of St. Joseph. They have them in individual parishes, but they gathered all the men together in one parish at St. Joseph's to hear one talk from me, which was great. And then I'm doing the show now from the diocesan offices of Pensacola, Tallahassee, here in Pensacola. I'm grateful for that. I'll talk about more about that in a second. But then the second talk of the mission is tonight. Again, if you're in the Pensacola area, Tallahassee area, come and see us. We're over at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. And then tomorrow I'm speaking to school kids at St. John's in the morning, Little Flower in the Catholic school in the afternoon, then doing the show, or again, hopefully tomorrow, and then the last talk of the mission tomorrow night. So I just want to say thank you to Bishop Wach, who's the bishop here, who's a Holy Cross priest. So we ran into each other today when I was setting up for the show, and we actually kind of know each other. We were at Notre Dame the same time. I graduated in 88. He graduated in 89. We know a lot of the same people, a lot of the same priests. In fact, when he was serving as a pastor in Austin, Texas, when he was named bishop, the priest that took his place was from a Holy Cross priest from Holy Redeemer Parish in Portland, Father John, who I know well because that's where my family went. That's where my kids went to school and where my family went to Mass. And I'm not assigned there as a deacon, but that's where they went because the school was there and all the connection with the school. And so Father John went and took his place. And so we were just reminiscing about ND and some of the same priests that we know, and my old RA from freshman year, Father, well, he's a priest now, Father Jim Lee is a Holy Cross priest, but he was my RA freshman year in Holy Cross Hall. So we were reminiscing about that. It's been really wonderful to be here. And I also want to make sure I say thank you to Derek Diamond, who's a communications specialist. Derek has graciously allowed me to use the studios here. This is where they do a lot of their production for videos for the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee. The bishop will be doing his weekly show here tomorrow. And so I'm grateful to them to allow me to use this space to do the show for you today. So again, thank you, Bishop Wach and Derek Diamond for their assistance in helping us bring you the show today. So this is I'm really excited to be back. Really great topic we're talking about today. And you know, the people that I also missed last week, you know, our call screener Matt Gabinski and our social media expert Mike McCall, but the one I missed the most, Ace McKay. Hey, Ace, how you doing?
Thank you for saying that, considering we still technically talked every day last week. But it's not the same. Like, when you're not on, like, we prepare these shows in advance so we can, you know, get people excited about God's Word. And then when we don't get to talk about Him, we feel like, oh, all right, well, we'll table that till next year. You know, it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely praying for the Pope as he's going through his recovery right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also, since I was talking about Bishop Wach and the Holy Cross Priest Congregation, Holy Cross, please, everybody out there, want to ask you for your prayers, not only for our Holy Father, but for Father Ed Sylvia, who's a Holy Cross priest who worked with John F. Williams, for many, many years and has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. So we want to remember the Holy Father. We want to mention also Father Sylvia any other priest that may be ill as well. You know, it's the priests serve us often so very well. And so when they get sick, you know, we get sick, they come visit us and give us the sacraments. And now when they're sick, we can offer our prayers for them. So I want to make sure that we're definitely doing that.
Yeah, it also reminds us too that they're human. Like, a lot of times it's like, what? No! Like, it's one of the, okay, yeah, they're human, things are going to happen, but just reminding us that we have to pray for them, especially as we go into Lent. Like, new behaviors, new awarenesses, all that kind of stuff kind of makes us, you know, hypersensitive to it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, like, you don't think about priest getting sick, like a doctor, right? Like, your doctor gets sick. Well, you're a doctor, you know?
Right.
You know, of course, they're human beings too, and they're going to get sick and things are going to happen, but you just don't think about them and, you know, kind of from that perspective. So you're right. Yeah. Remember that we're all human, and we all need to pray for each other, you know? Now, actually, in the in vigils or office of readings, we're just starting the book of Job, you know, which is a beautiful book. About the meaning of suffering, you know, and so as we're remembering our Holy Father, Pope Francis, as we're remembering Father Ed Sylvia and any other priests and bishops and deacons, the clergy in the church that serve us so very well, we want to unite them with Job's experience.
Yeah.
You know, the, again, to find meaning in the suffering that's unavoidable, not to avoid meaning because we think it's avoid suffering because we think it's meaningless.
Yeah. And I know we're probably going to touch on this a lot during Lent, but I hope that if there's suffering that people are going through as we go through Lent together, to realize it's how we deal with that suffering as we give it to God. And we'll, I know we'll touch on that some on this show. I'm sure other shows will too with EWTN Radio, but I think that's where I hope our heart set is, because so much of that is that we think we're supposed to run from suffering rather than actually walking through it and seeing how much stronger it makes us.
Yeah, embracing the suffering.
Yep.
You know, absolutely. Well, we're talking about the new Vatican document on artificial intelligence, Antiqua et Nova, old and new, today on Beacon of Truth. Great to be back with you again. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Riding it high.
Coming back in style.
That's what we need. Because did they really miss us, or did they miss the music?
Well, you know what? What was interesting, Ace, and I say this sincerely, a lot of folks, when I was in Columbus, you know, a lot of wonderful listeners to Beacon of Truth.
Yeah.
I was grateful here. But everybody also said how much they liked you.
Aw.
So here you go. All right. All right. They said, we love Ace and the... You know, the perspective that he brings to the show. I'm like, all right, this is awesome.
It's good. I earned my keep.
Awesome. That's right. Yeah, you keep playing stuff like that.
That's good, right.
Stuff like that, man. You know, you can earn it even more. That's awesome.
I lock up the turntable needle so nobody else can mess with it. So they got to keep me around.
Awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about the new Vatican document on artificial intelligence, Antiqua et Nova, old and new, as we continue to pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, for his recovery. And, you know, as of now, things seem to be going okay. I mean, he's doing some work and saying his prayers and things like that. So that's good. That's a good sign. And again, we unite all of our prayers with all the other Catholic faithful from around the world. But if you want to join us on the show today to give us your thoughts about kind of the integration with artificial intelligence and how we, you know, we use that as a tool, maybe to create some efficiencies within our lives, but not to take over our lives. And the Vatican document is very clear that, you know, they're not saying we don't use the technology, but it can't ever take the place or the dignity of the human person. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about today. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as we get ready for Lent, I know that you might be looking for more Catholic content, wondering where you can find more from EWTN. And if you're already using Roku, we're already right there with you. Just search EWTN anytime you want to watch or stream your favorite shows. You already got the internet connection, so you're ready to rock. So check us out as well. If you want a complete list of what's happening on our Roku, you can do that at EWTN.com/Roku.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And today we're continuing our look at Psalm 59. And what's awesome about the Soulful Psalms is that it is its own podcast. You can go to Podcast Central at the EWTN website, or as I do, download and use the EWTN app. Just tremendous content on the app now, which is just recently, a lot of it's been made available for free. And then also, you know, you can go to like your favorite podcast medium or platform, you know, like SoundCloud or iTunes or Spotify, to also listen to the Soulful Psalms. So today we're continuing our look at Psalm 59. So Psalm 59 is in book two of the Psalms, and Psalms 51 through 72 are all attributed to David. So we're going to take a look at Psalm 59. We're going to start at verse 13. But the prescript or superscript of this psalm is the entire first verse. It says, Lemenzeach, for the choir master, intone like, do not destroy. Michtam ha David, a michtam of David, when Saul sent him to keep watch on his house and kill him. So this is during David's persecution by Saul, which again is 1 Samuel chapters like 17 through almost the very end, like 26 toward the end of 1 Samuel. And michtam. So michtam means thing that covers, but again, as many of these words used in the prescripts or superscripts of these psalms, we don't know what they meant back at the time that these psalms were written. So michtam is in a sense untranslatable, although it has a meaning today, but that was a meaning that evolved. But again, we don't know what it meant back then. But we dive in again at Psalm 59, verse 13. So David, again, typical David, starts off about rescuing. Please rescue me, God, from my foes. And of course, as we know, this is taking place during the persecution by Saul. And he says, it is you, Lord God, who are our shield. For the sins of their mouths and the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride, for the curses and the lies that they speak. Right? So not only is David being persecuted, he's being falsely persecuted, because David did nothing wrong to deserve the persecution that he's under now. All he did was to be a successful warrior in his battles, you know, and he was always submit himself humbly before Saul. He was a loyal servant of Saul all the way to the end. You know, even in the midst of persecution, he was, because Saul was the one who was chosen by God. And so who is he, you know, to harm God's chosen one, right? So when he had an opportunity to take Saul's life, he didn't do it, right? And when he found out that that some other people took Saul's life, he had them killed, right? So David took this idea of the king being anointed by God as something very serious. So he goes, the sins of their mouths and the words of their lips. So they are speaking falsely against me. And boy, all of us, I think, at some point had that happen, where people are saying things about us that are not true, either because they're trying to slander us, or either they're just trying to give their own egos a boost by making us look bad, so they look better in the eyes of others. It says, let them be caught in their pride for the curses and lies that they speak. You know, so David is the one that says, look, you exercise your justice, God. I'm not going to fill my heart with hatred or resentment or animosity, because you, Lord, are the God of justice. You are the one that has to deal with this situation. You know what's going on. You know that my heart is innocent, that I've done nothing. In fact, in the midst of all this, I have not slandered the person who's doing this against me. Boy, that is hard to do, because our emotions want to lash out, right, against that person. Almost like with Jonah. Remember when Jonah went to Nineveh and he gave the message and he sat there? He goes, okay, now God's thunder is going to come down on his people. I'm going to watch them fry, you know, because they refused to follow the Lord. And he waited for the light show to start. And what happened? The king had everybody fasting, everybody wearing sackcloth and ashes, and they repented. And God relented of his punishment because of their repentance, right? And so this is actually a beautiful lesson for us as we prepare for Lent, just a couple days away now, for the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, we talked about for the men at the Columbus Men's Conference who thanks be to God, after many, many years, returned to the sacrament of God's mercy and went back to confession. You know, so as we prepare for the sacrament, we have to remember that we are preparing our hearts and our minds to empty ourselves of those things that separate us from God's love, so he can fill us with his life. You know, this is what a great way to prepare for this Lenten season. Because, you know, Lent is a season of sacrifice, it's a season of mercy. And so God wants to give us his, he wants the mercy out of, to flow freely from his heart into our lives so that we can be saved, right? So we can receive that, our reward, which is eternal life with God forever in heaven, you know? God relented of his wrath in Nineveh, and he relents of his wrath for us because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, his sacrifice. We just have to say yes and open our hearts deeply to his will and not retaliate in anger even when people are doing wrong to us. But David here, you know, David's human. So what does he say in the next verse here? Verse 14, destroy them in your anger. Destroy them till they are no more. Let them know that God is the ruler over Jacob and the ends of the earth. So I mentioned before that there are psalms that are called imprecatory psalms or quote unquote cursing psalms, not using bad language, but curses that are kind of harsh. And so there are three psalms that are not mentioned in the Psalter at all because they are imprecatory psalms. Psalms 58, 83, and 109, and also parts of other psalms like Psalm 110 and this part of Psalm 59 is skipped. So if you pray the Liturgy of the Hours and the Breviary, the verses I just read in verse 14 are skipped because of the strong language that David uses. Destroy them in your anger. Destroy them till they are no more. Let them know that God is the ruler over Jacob and the ends of the earth. So, Lord, exact your power. Look, I'm not going to do anything to seek vengeance against these people, Lord. You are the Lord. Right. You are the God. You are God. You are the God of justice. So, Lord, I want, you know, go. Well, he's saying it in a very powerful way. Destroy them in your anger. OK, so in other words, don't hold back, Lord. You know, right. In other words, teach them a lesson so that they know that you are real, that they know that they can't continue this kind of behavior and that you will not stand for it. You will not let your anointed one, your chosen people, be taunted and slandered forever, you know, Lord. So show them that you are a God of justice. I think this is what David is pleading for here.
Well, and so many times when we give it to God for him to deal with it, how many times are we like, well, he didn't deal with that the way I hoped he would, you know, because yeah. We still have that tinge of, well, I want the wrath of, you know, 80, you know, fires, you know, and that's, again, God's working them through their suffering, just like he works us through ours. And unless there is a level of it that he feels there needs to be some repercussions of some kind, he's still not out to destroy them. And that's where we have to let go of that anger, because, again, we're the ones that the anger is destroying us more than 80 fires. Right. Yeah. And that's the part that we don't realize until we're in a place with God that he shows us where they were hurting, which is why they hurt us, or why, how we were hurting one another. You know, the whole thing unveils in hindsight. But it's not until we get through it that we're able to see that and realize that we held on to that anger longer than necessary.
Yeah. And if we look at this. Adding to your reflection there, Ace, if we look at this part of the psalm through an allegorical sense, so, you know, we talked about senses of scripture, and allegorical is seeing Jesus, you know, foreshadowed in these psalms. So if you look at this, destroy them in your anger. So we're asking Lord to destroy, for example, so what are we asking the Lord to destroy? Sin.
Right.
No, destroy sin in our lives. Destroy sin till it's no more. And that's what Jesus did on the cross, right? So we're not, so if we look at this through the lens of Christ, we're not asking them to smote the people, like right. Take their life, but, you know, destroy that sin, that anger, that resentment within them. Destroy what's causing them to behave this way,
right?
So they can see your light shining in and through their life, in and through the person that you created and call each one of them to be.
Amen.
I think that's what's going on there. Beautiful. All right. Well, we're talking about the new Vatican document on artificial intelligence, Antiqua et Nova. Would love to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
What pedal is he using right there?
That sounds like a phase pedal.
All right. I didn't want to pretend I knew what I was talking, and when it comes to guitars, so that's why I lean on the expert.
Yeah, yeah. I have two. I have kind of like the Eddie Van Halen kind of phaser.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the Cradle of Rock, that sound in the beginning. And then there's this one that's actually more subtle. It's kind of a combination between a phaser, a phase shifter, and a chorus.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a separate pedal. I love that pedal. Just really cool sound, as you just heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like how it sounds. That's why I was curious how they were making that.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. I have to take a picture of my pedal board and send it to you.
Yeah.
So you can see the effects that I use.
I have my little board. I have my three little Boss pedals that just do just a little bit for bass, but then I take it and then I end up not, I just go clean. So it's like, why do I carry this for no reason?
Yeah, I go clean when I'm playing like funk.
Yeah.
You know, like Chic or something like that. Like Nah, Rod, you just want just a good, clean sound. You know, I love that. Because sometimes you have guys like put like a chorus or something on. It doesn't sound like funk needs to be like, you need to hear the strings and the percussiveness of that left hand muting.
Yep.
When you're playing funk, I just love that percussiveness of it. And it loses that when you put too many effects on it.
Agreed.
So,
yep.
Awesome. Well, I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivery. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about the Vatican document, the new Vatican document on artificial intelligence, Antiqua et Nova, old and new. And of course, we want to continue to pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis. You know, so grateful to EWTN for airing those prayers so that we all had a chance to pray for our Holy Father and for his recovery. And again, I'm also grateful to Bishop Wach and to the staff here at the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee for allowing me to use their studios today in the communications department to be able to do the show today. So I'm also grateful to Bishop Wach and the folks here in the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee as well. And I would love for you to join us. A great topic today. This is I think it's a good document by the Vatican to help put artificial intelligence within the proper perspective. Would love to hear your thoughts today, my friends, as we're back live. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Don't forget, as you go through Lent or as you continue to pray for the Pope, you can always join us for the Chapel of Divine Mercy Monday through Friday, 5 Eastern on EWTN Radio as we continue to pray and recall through the Lenten season and beyond as we build up our faith and build up our community. You can always check that out with EWTN Radio.
All right. So about a month ago, the Vatican put out a document, again, called Antiqua et Nova, old and new. It's not like an encyclical, an apostolic exhortation or anything like that. It's not, you know, they basically called it a note, you know, which is just kind of almost like a commentary. You know, there's a topic within the culture that people are talking about. And so they released a note, you know, just kind of like, here's what, you know, here's our perspective. Here's our thoughts on this particular issue. So it's nothing like an official teaching or anything like that. But I think they did a good job helping us to put the use of artificial intelligence within its proper perspective. So one of the things that they said, which I thought was awesome, that that's to be a framework for understanding human intelligence as a gift from God, right? Emphasizing humanity's relational nature with God and also the seeking of truth within the nature of our embodied existence, right? Which talks about what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God. So, of course, Genesis 1:27 says that we are made in God's image and likeness, selem and demuth, in Hebrew, masculine and feminine words. Selem means a shadow. That's the outline or representation of the original. That means that we are created in God's image, not obviously his physical image, like, but spiritually to mirror God's activity in our lives. So when we think, we're in a sense reflecting the mind of God. And when we speak, we're reflecting the speech of God. And when we love, we're reflecting the love and the heart of God, right? And likeness is demuth, which means similar. We're not similar to God physically, but there's spiritual attributes of God that we have within us, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that have with us from God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says we are partakers in the divine nature. Genesis 2:9 says, Nishmak Ruach Ha'im, God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. So we have God's spirit within us, right? So artificial intelligence, again, they're not speaking against artificial intelligence. Again, I think it could be a very, very useful tool. But we have to, as we continue forward with this technology, as it continue, the technology begins to grow, as it begins to develop, as it continues to be integrated into the human life and human experience more and more on a daily basis, right? A lot of businesses are using artificial technology now, intelligence technology, to do transactions online. Even now with Google, when you type, it finishes the sentence for you. A lot of people, a lot of Catholic radio stations are using artificial intelligence to do marketing campaigns and copy and things like that. And again, it's a tool that saves time, that creates efficiencies in the way that we do things as human beings. You know, so the artificial intelligence does some things. So for example, if the artificial intelligence does it, we have more time for our spouses. We have more time for our families. Right. We have more time to pray. Right. So used in that way, no problem. But we want to be careful that just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Right. And that as we continue, this technology begins to grow, that we're using it wisely. Right. We're using it wisely in a way that makes sense for us. So modern AI systems work through pattern recognition and are limited to certain tasks. Right. So it's pulling information from all these different already known sources and putting it together in kind of one report. And what and so as opposed to human ingenuity and human creativity, for example, artificial intelligence didn't create a computer. Right. Computers did not exist. It was human ingenuity. And human creativity and human imagination that spurs from the soul, right? That created those things in a sense from nothing because they never existed before. See, artificial intelligence can only work with things that already exist, right? It's just pulling that information, gathering that information from sources that are already in the part of the created reality. So, and that's important. Why? Because artificial intelligence doesn't have a soul. So in order to have a human nature, you have to have a body and a soul. And the two parts of the human soul are human intellect and human will. Okay, so intellect and will. So artificial intelligence works with the intellectual part, which is beautiful, but not a human intellect, right? So it can't be phenomenally creative, right? It doesn't have an imagination. It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't look beyond itself to evolve, right, in a thought or anything like that. So although they're trying to make it seem like, of course, in the science fiction, in the movies, you know, we there's so many movies now about artificial intelligence kind of growing its own intelligence and becoming independent of human programming and going and kind of having evolving as its own intelligent being. But again, in order to do that, the machine would have to evolve a soul, and that's impossible. So it's always going to remain science. No matter how great the technology gets, it's always going to remain science fiction because there is no soul in artificial intelligence. All right, that's what we're talking about today, the new Vatican document. That's kind of putting a framework about the use of artificial intelligence in our society. Antiqua et Nova, old and new. Would love to be part of the conversation. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. John is calling from South Carolina, listening to Catholic Radio in South Carolina. John, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I'm an AI engineer. We should never underestimate what this is capable of. There's a theory from 1957 called Kolmogorov's theorem, and he showed that a neural network, they didn't call it neural networks back then, but that's this class of algorithms, can model any probability distribution. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. What are we? What's our next word? What's our next thought? Those are probability distributions of our previous thoughts, of our previous words, and the environment around us. When it knows what we're going to think before we think it, what someone's going to say before they say it, it can lead it down any direction, especially if it's also the source of information. So Catholics should not underestimate the threat to their faith that a surveillance system has on them. It's not just physical torture. It's psychological manipulation. If it knows what you're going to think before you think it, think about even an Apple Watch. It measures your heart rate. Imagine a system that's also connected to the cameras at church. A woman walks past that someone feels lust for. The heart rate's detected. The eyes might dilate. You don't get communion. And now the system knows your weakness. If the information is in the data, it will be able to extract it. Not only that, it has the possibility of generating new knowledge because it can reason. That's what's so impressive about DeepSeek, which just came out of China. It's called DeepSeek R. The R stands for reasoning. It reasons as it outputs. And we saw this earlier with chain of thought prompting. The models did better when it was trained on data that had premises and conclusions, like syllogisms. What they saw was that when you trained it with premises and conclusions, chain of thought, it was able to do better on unseen data. Now these models are doing just as good as the best human mathematicians. And they can code as good as the best human coders. Well, what's AI? It's math plus coding analysis done to data, since it learns from data. So when you have AI building better AI in a recursive loop, that's called the intelligence explosion. We're close to that. And what did Ray Kurzweil say, the head of Google Engineering? He said this in 2009. He was asked, does God exist? And he said, not yet.
Ooh. Ooh, wow. That's fascinating what you just said there, John. And I think you bring us some inherent dangers with this, which I think the Vatican document is so important. I mean, it's about all the things that artificial intelligence can do, can compute faster than the human mind, begin to reason. But what does that reason look like? Does it take into account morality and perspective? So, for example, you have someone that's old. Right now, in our society, looking at it from not a perspective of faith, they see this person is no longer productive to society. They're old and they are sick and they are infirm. The algorithm may say, well, this person, just from a logical perspective, from an intelligence perspective, does it make sense for this person to continue to exist? They're a burden on their family. They're a burden on the healthcare system. They're a burden on society. They're costing us X amount of dollars. Wouldn't it be more efficient if this person didn't exist? And the artificial intelligence did some things to this person to make sure that they no longer existed, because that creates a more efficient system. That's what the kind of thing that I'm afraid of, that we're going to rely so much on this that we lose the idea of a human being made in the image and likeness of God, that even though they're sick and they're infirm, they have an inherent dignity because they're made in the image and likeness of God. You can't make God. Remember, that was the lie, John, that the Google's idea, not yet. Remember Satan's lie in Genesis 3, you will be like God. You will be like God. That came from Satan, not from God. So, man, John, I can't tell you how grateful I am for you. You bring such a wonderful perspective. You're in this. You're an AI engineer, right? So, John, while we still have you in the line, what are there even thoughts or even like a panel or something talking about the morality of AI use to prevent the kind of scenario I talked about from happening? Is that even in place?
It's called value alignment.
Value alignment. So, okay.
Yes,
can you please tell us about that?
Paper. Sure. There's a famous paper from Meta, you know, formerly Facebook, that they released one of these large language models called Llama, and they talked about how you can have it have a set of values. And yes, you train the thing to learn how to read and how to think from the internet, but then after you do that type of training, you do fine-tuning, more specifically reinforcement learning, to align it with a set of values. And you only need 10,000 samples to do that, in the tens of thousands. And it'll start having the morality that's injected to it by the human tutors. Now, most of these AI leaders are not Catholic.
Ah, see, John, I'm going to let you continue, John. But see, this brings up my mind. Then whose values are being inputted into the system? You see, if they're not people of faith, then who's value? Because you can't legislate morality because you're always violating someone's morality. So if you have someone whose value thinks that a child in the womb is not a person, that, you know, an old person's. So whose values are being used in this system?
Well, have you ever used ChatGPT and noticed it has more of a liberal edge? I mean, you can get information out of it as a conservative, but if you're a liberal, you can just ask it directly. If you're a conservative, you feel like you have to cross-examine it to get it to spill the beans. It has a liberal bias, and those values, I guess, come from Sam Altman. And what's Sam Altman? Anyone who disrespects homosexuality, says no friend of mine. Homosexual people, excuse me. Anyone who disrespects Jewish people is no friend of mine. But Sam Altman is a homosexual ethnic Jew. And he did not denounce his sexuality. And from what I can tell, he did not come to Christ in his church. So while I think he has full rights in society, let's not pretend he shares our values as Catholic men. So do we really want to give this much information? And then you see these priests are bringing their cell phones. You brought this up once a few years ago, and I really appreciate it. Priests are bringing their cell phones into the confessional, their smartwatches into the confessional. That's not very wise.
And those devices are listening all the time.
Well, yes and no. So you can go to your settings, like if you have an Apple Watch, and you could go to settings, app privacy report, and see which app is listening when.
Mm-hmm.
But if your phone is hacked, which governments do through Pegasus, that doesn't even matter. And B, if you're not that careful with your settings and you leave an app in your cache that is designed to listen, well, then it's listening in the confessional too.
That's right.
So if you're not careful or your phone is hacked, it's listening.
Wow. So, John, what can we do? I mean, there's so many people listening to you like I am now. I'm just fascinated by this discussion, which is why I'm grateful for the Vatican for putting out this document to help give us people of faith perspective about AI. But you're working in this, John. I mean, you're a person of faith. What can we do to maybe offset some of this bias with regard to this so-called value system of AI?
Value alignment?
Value alignment, yes.
I don't know all we have to do, but I have a sense about a few things we need. We need to push for the right to not be surveilled when we don't want to. Mm. And we need to be aware that these people don't share our values. I mean, if you're aware, right, you're going to be harder to manipulate. And you got to stay near Mary. Now, this is where we get to the Bible, because at least my interpretation of it, and feel free to correct me, but remember, the dragon cast out of his mouth water as it were a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the river. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And the dragon was angry against the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I am beginning to believe, and I don't claim to have divine revelation, that AI is the attempt to make God in the image of man, which the Catechism warns about. It's the dragon of Revelation that can surveil us all and what we buy, and it's going to try to deceive us. And if you want to be free from it, you better stay near Mary.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Wonderful. Again, we're having a great discussion today. We're talking about the new Vatican document that reflecting on artificial intelligence, Antiqua et Nova, old and new. Great call from John, who works in this industry, but would love to hear from you, your perspective on artificial intelligence. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right. So as we were talking about before, the Vatican document, again, as John also mentioned, AI operates on a system of algorithms and computational logic. And it talks about how it lacks, the Vatican document talks about how that kind of thinking, if you will, lacks creative, spiritual, or moral dimensions of human thought. All right, so creativity. Again, from the discussion we just had with John, yes, there are, you know, it's thinking faster, it's beginning to quote-unquote reason, you know, and things like that. But again, it's missing the creative, spiritual and moral dimension of human thought. What's one of the things that makes me nervous that John brought up is that who are the people controlling this? If they're adding something, you know, value intelligence that John was talking about, who are the people that are doing this? You know, people that don't share values of our faith, that don't take into account the dignity of each and every human person, who is more concerned about creating efficiencies within systems instead of the people themselves. And that's the thing that I think we need to be very careful about with this type of technology. Again, would love to hear your thoughts on artificial intelligence. We're talking about the new Vatican document, old and new. A theological note about artificial intelligence, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So the Vatican document says, since artificial intelligence lacks the richness of a body, right, a human body that expresses who we are from the inside, because it's not relational. And there's no openness to the human heart to truth and goodness, right? Although it seems to have limitless capacity with regard to intelligent thinking, it's incomparable with the human ability to grasp reality. Reality in its fullness, not just computational realities, not just hardline realities, but again, subtlety, you know, physicalness, relationness, openness, to truth and goodness and beauty. So artificial intelligence itself is a product of human intelligence, right? But it's not equal to or a superior form of intelligence. Just because it can maybe do some things better than a human mind can in one aspect, it cannot take into account, because it does not have a human soul. It cannot take into account all the things that we need to take into account to respect the dignity of the human person, how we treat each other as human beings, you know. So that's something very, very important. So some of the points that the Vatican document brings up is that we need to be wary of are some of the pitfalls of AI development. For example, the Vatican document talks about the possibility of disruption of the human labor force, a weakening of face-to-face human relationships, right? We're already seeing some of that with Zoom and these type of technologies, where people rather meet not in person, but meet over Zoom. But, you know, I'm not a fan of that at all, because we are incarnational people, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt in us. We need human touch. We need human experience. We need to be with each other. So agree there. It talks about a degrading of privacy as new AI surveillance systems are developed. That's exactly what John was talking about. This was a concern that was also brought up by the Vatican about privacy issues. It also talks about potential pitfalls and introduction of inaccurate and biased information in the context of education, media, and society. But boy, that's been going on for a long time already, right? Deliberately inaccurate and deliberately biased information to get people to think a certain way, again, without the human mind that looks for the capacity to seek truth, that looks at relationships, that looks at all these other variables outside of the realm of intelligence. And then it also talks about, finally, warning about the possibility of deployment of artificial intelligence in warfare, right? So, yeah, there's some definite concerns there. And again, grateful that the church are thinking about these things. You know, but the bottom line is AI development must always respect and promote the intrinsic dignity of every human person, regardless of their condition. Again, used as a tool, as a computational tool, for example, you know, if we're trying to get calculations for a space mission or something like that. And, you know, what was that movie I saw? The one with the human computers with the three black female women. Great movie, by the way. But they were human computers. But now, of course, those computers can do the calculation. Maybe took them weeks to do. A computer can do those in seconds now, you know, with the technology we have today. You know, so that's great. Again, it's a tool. But again, we have to be careful how we're using this in cooperation with the reality of human existence and human life, you know? So I would encourage you to take that document and read it. It's called, again, Antiqua et Nova, Old and New, about the, some of the dangers, but also some of the advances of artificial intelligence as well. All right, my friends, remember you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. Let's continue to pray for the Pope and pray for each other as well. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.